Okay, we'll do the 17th chapter. Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Ye Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya.
Ye Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya.
Yajante Shraddhayanvitaha.
Yajante Shraddhayanvitaha.
Tesham Nishthatu Ka Krishna.
Tesham Nishthatu Ka Krishna.
Sattvamaho Rajastamaha.
Sattvamaho Rajastamaha.
So in the 16th chapter he ended with Ya Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya. So one who does not practice the Shastra. So Arjuna asks, Arjuna Uvach, Ye, these people who Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya. Utsrijya means ignoring, not practicing Shastra Vidhi. What has been explained in the scriptures, in the Gita and the Bible and the Quran and the Guru Granth Sahib and all the, Ramayana and Mahabharata, these scriptures, one who do not practice these, ye here is the plural, so people who do not practice these, they do not know the scriptures, but yajante, but they work shraddhayan vitaha, shraddha with, endowed with shraddha. They are not bad people. They work for the benefit. Yajante means they work for the benefit of all. And they are even devoted to the Lord. They say, oh, they go in the morning and pray. But they have not studied the scriptures. They have not met a guru, or they are not that qualified. Like there is a miner, who grew up in the mines. His father was a miner, his grandfather was a miner. By age of 14 or 15, they took him out of school and put him in the mines. Now, the poor guy never had time to study the Bhagavad Gita. Where he can study it? He doesn't have time. But he works dedicating to the Lord. He knows there is some God somewhere. He goes to church on Sundays, or he goes to the temple and he lights a candle and he says, yeah, there is God who created me. That's all he knows. So he's working, but he does not know the scriptures. He has not yet studied the scriptures. So what happens to such a person? Tesham nishtha. What is their state? O Krishna, sattvam. Is it sattvam, rajas or tamas? Are they sattvic people, rajasic people or tamasic? That is what Arjuna wants to know. Because in the 14th chapter, Krishna had told him about sattva, rajas and tamas. So he wants to know that, how about a person who has never met you? He has never met a guru, never studied. What happens to him? That is Arjuna's question. And actually Krishna doesn't answer that question so much. Of course, indeed, he actually goes into detail of what is sattva, rajas and tamas. So indirectly, the whole 17th chapter is an answer to Arjuna's question. But what he does is, he talks about tapa, ahar, yagna and danam. Tapa means austerity, ahar means diet, yagna means dedicated activities and danam charity. And how we can bring sattva or rajas or tamas in all of them. What I am eating, is it sattvic or rajasic or tamasic? When I am doing charity, am I sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? When I am doing austerities, or when I, all that. So that is all explained in the 17th chapter. So let us just read the question of Arjuna today. We won't do the answer. We'll do that next week, because I spent some of the time in summarizing the Bhagavad Gita. So what is Shastra? Shastra is a book of instructions. And we all need instructions. You need instructions in anything. Suppose I want to make a little wooden toy, right, for my grandson or for my son. I don't need too many instructions, right? If I have a little carpentry skills, I have a hammer and nail, and I can put together a little, put a little box and put some wheels and paint it. Little instructions, little knowledge I have, I can do it. I don't need too much. But suppose I want to make a machine. I want to make a complicated computer and I set up a factory. Obviously, I need a lot more instructions. I need to know what a computer is. I need to know what is the Intel, how, where I can get the, you know, that whatever that basic of the computer is, how I can hardware, software, all that I need. It's very complicated. Now, suppose I want to make a bomb. I'm a terrorist. Then you have to follow the instructions exactly. Otherwise, you might not be around to regret it. You know, there you have to. So depending on the complexity of my job, I need instructions. So, and for instructions, I need a guru. That's why people say, I can read the scriptures on my own. Why do I need a guru? Well, first of all, when you say I can read the book, now who wrote the book? Did you write it? No, some guru wrote it. This is Swami Chinmayananda. All of us are reading his commentary. Secondly, if you have a doubt, can you ask the book, why do I need a guru? No, you cannot. But you can ask a guru, why do I need a guru? So a guru is very necessary. Just as when I want to learn golf, you can say, I can watch some videos of, you know, of Arnold Palmer. You know, you can buy the video and learn how to play golf. It's not going to happen. You need a golf pro who will teach you how to hit the ball, how to position your leg and your arm. And he will tell you, you're hitting wrong here, your knee needs to be bent and all that. If I want to learn computer, even if I want to learn cooking, you know, whom most of us learned cooking from our mother. You know, she was our guru. So in the world, we need a guru. And without guru, it's very difficult. I was reading about a commentary on this, and it gave the example of Buddha and Vivekananda. Now, Buddha didn't have a guru. He was, of course, a very evolved soul. But it took him 32 years sitting and meditating and going through hard penance because he didn't have a guru. He had not studied the scriptures. He had never studied, but he said, I want to realize the truth. I want to escape sorrow. So it took him 32 years of hard penance and suffering and fasting. He did realize, he became a great Buddha, became a great knowledgeable person, but through a lot of hardship. But a person like Vivekananda took him 2.5 years. Why? Because he had, first of all, he had studied the scriptures and he had Ramakrishna Paramhans, the most advanced guru of his time. So that is the glory of the guru and the glory of the scriptures, that they make our job easier. They carry us, you know, up. That's what Ramakrishna saw. When he saw him, he said, where have you been? I have been waiting for you. Vivekananda just walked in the moment and he recognized that this is a suitable student. And he, you know, he taught him and then he touched him. He touched him actually with his toe, with his big toe, and he instantly realized. So that's why the guru is necessary. That's what the benefit of the scriptures is. And then he asked us, Ya Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya Yajante Shraddha Yan Vitaha. What is Shraddha? Now, Shraddha is often translated in English as faith. Now, faith is a very poor translation. Any commentary you read, it says Shraddha is not faith. Shraddha is faith plus knowledge, plus belief. So Shankaracharya ji says that Guru Vakyasya and Shastrasya, total belief and acceptance and understanding of what is told in the scriptures by the Guru. The Guru is the one who can interpret. Now this Bhagavad Gita is in Sanskrit. If I don't know Sanskrit, I cannot study it. So I need a person like Swami Chinmayananda or Vivekananda or other people who have commentaries and translated this from Sanskrit to English so we can understand. And then I have to have total faith and it should become part of my belief. What is belief? Belief is what is the core of my personality, what I believe in. What is the most important thing in my life is my belief. So what is belief is not just superficial, but what I feel from within. This is important. So that Shraddha is what is required. And that is called Shraddha. But what Arjuna's question is, that a person who has not studied the scriptures and he sits down and prays. So example is, like a devotee or a priest. So a devotee is one who gets up in the morning, you know, goes to the, he has a little temple in his house, he bows his head down, and then after taking a bath, he'll do some puja and offer some flowers or chant the, you know, some mantras or some bhajans. And he does, again, he has not studied the scriptures. He doesn't know any mantras even. He says, God, mantra vihinam, you know, there is a, that my, I do not know any mantras. I do not know all these rituals, but I love you, God. So he is chanting, but he does not know anything. He has, does not know the proper technique. He does puja, but he doesn't know the 16 steps. You know, the 16 steps of puja where you invite the Lord, offer him a seat and give him water and give him clothes. He doesn't know all that. He says, God, I love you. And then there may be a priest. I'm not saying all priests are like that, but occasionally you will find a priest who is very good with chanting. He knows all the scriptures. He has memorized so many Vedas, and he has memorized and he knows the, even the Sanskrit meaning. And he's beautifully chanting as he's doing the puja. But in his mind, when he's doing the puja for at somebody's house, he's thinking about the dakshina. You know, what am I going to get out of that? I mean, majority of the priests are not like that. But suppose there is one like that whose only interest is, how much am I going to make out of this? He may be doing the chanting, the mantras perfectly, you know, perfectly he's doing that. He may even know the meaning. He may be very knowledgeable in Sanskrit. But what is his feeling in his heart? That is more important. That's what his Arjuna's question is. That a person who does not know the scriptures, if he does puja with Shraddha, is he sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? So they say that karma plus Shraddha. So I do the puja with devotion, but I do not know the scriptures and I do not have that much. So what that does, it takes you to heaven. It takes you to higher, and then you come back and continue your journey. But a person who does the puja or even works in the world, karma, with upasana, with constantly remembering the Lord and knowing the scriptures, he has studied the scriptures, he has applied them in his life. That's why studying the Bhagavad Gita is important. People say, why do I need to study the Gita? I can just go out. They say, you don't need to know all this. Just be a good person. Don't tell lies. And there are some people who say, I don't need to come to lectures. I don't lie any to anybody. I don't hurt anybody. I don't cheat anybody. I am kind to my family. That's very good. We are not saying that is bad. Being a good person is excellent. It's a very good start, but it is karma. When you do karmas accompanied by right knowledge, by knowing tatvamasi, who am I, that one has to know. Otherwise, what happens is you are just doing karmas. You go to heaven, you become a very good person, you go to heaven, you come back, and your journey continues. Your journey doesn't end. You know, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. But a person who's doing karmas with the right knowledge, with the right attitude, having studied the scriptures, then that such a person who has spent his whole life, that person is a Mahatma. He is a saint, he is a noble person whose whole life is spent in teaching, in serving. He becomes a Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya or Jesus or Buddha or Mirabai, all these great saints and sages and Guru Nanak and all, whose life was, they also worked, but they worked constantly remembering the Lord. Now such people do not take birth again. They go to Brahma Loka. They go to, either they become realized in this life itself, which we call as Jivan Mukti, where they realize, or if they don't realize, then they go to Brahma Loka at the time of death. From there, they do not have to take birth again. There they learn from other great teachers, Mahatmas, and Brahmaji himself teaches them, the Creator, and then they progress. That is called Krama Mukti. So one is Jivan Mukti, that is in this life itself, or Krama Mukti, where they go to the higher. Now, this question Arjuna asked 8,000 years ago. Now, suppose Arjuna was here today, and he was asking the same question. you know, and Krishna was standing in front of him. He was, Krishna was wearing a suit and tie, and Arjuna was and Arjuna was carrying a briefcase with a computer, and he was asking Krishna the same question, you know, the same question. How would it be? So there was I was reading another commentary. They gave a very different interpretation. He says Arjuna would ask Krishna, Krishna, tell me this. So Krishna says, what? Krishna, of course, is an MBA and has a PhD in computer science. And so he says, you know, can you tell me what happens, what is happening to us? We have so much faith in science, Shraddha. We had so much Shraddha in science. Where has that taken us? What has happened to an individual who has a lot of faith in science? And what is his sthiti? Tesham ka nishtha, Krishna. What is? So Krishna would say that it depends on how you use science. See, science is very good. It has brought us from the dark ages, you know, from the caveman. Now we are, you know, living in nice homes. We are traveling in space, going to different planets, and, you know, computers. And we have accomplished so much. But the question is, are we really happy? Am I happier than what the caveman was? Yes, I am more comfortable. He was living in a cave and he had the rain. I am protected in a nice house and I have air conditioning. But am I happier? Am I happier? What has science brought us? Science has brought us a lot of material progress, but has it brought us happiness? Think about it. How much problems science has brought. There are atomic weapons. Any day, anybody, you know, once some terrorist or somebody gets hold of this nuclear bomb, he explodes it, finish, we'll all be gone. And there is so much conflict. You hear of so much violence and so much fighting, and, you know, in the Middle East and everywhere there are problems and conflicts. Even here, every day you hear of shootings. You know, people just take a gun and just shoot anybody and everybody for no reason. Every day, there is not a day when you don't open the paper. And not only is happening now, this violence is spreading to other countries too. We have spread our disease of guns to other Europe, and we have spread it everywhere. You know, the Second Amendment is one of the worst things that, you know, that we have done to ourselves. We don't need guns, you know. If you are a policeman, you need a gun, but because most of the guns end up with criminals. And so science has brought us just nothing but more problems. Nothing but more problems. So science is not bad. I'm not criticizing science. It's the misuse of science. Thank you for bringing that up. It's like medicine. Now think about it. You know, medicine. In the olden days, we used to die of smallpox. You know, people used to die of smallpox or TB or malaria or, you know, all those illnesses. So science said, we'll conquer them. So they conquered the illnesses and removed it. We brought vaccines and antibiotics. Now people don't die. Smallpox has been eradicated. Polio is pretty much eradicated. But we have now created new illnesses. Science has created new, not medicine, but science. Cancer. Now cancer was unheard of in the past. People never lived that long, and secondly, they'll breathe pure air, the water was clean, the food was clean. Now we find that science has given us clean food, but at the same time, there is so much, you know, pollution in the air. The air is polluted. Cancer is increasing like anything in India. You know, if you talk to people, India, they hardly used to see cancer. Now there is so much pollution. My dad actually built a cancer hospital, and they are so busy. They started with 160 beds. Now they have 600 beds, and they are all the time full. They have actually a waiting list. There is so much cancer now. Why? Because of pollution. And then the water is polluted. The fish, we think fish is healthy, is full of mercury. The fish ingest the mercury in the ocean. And that's what, so if you are consuming mercury every day and all this air has so much pollution, obviously you'll get lung cancer and body. I'm not saying that you should be afraid to live. But what I'm saying is medical science has cured things, but then there are other, heart disease. Heart disease was very rare in the past. Nowadays, everybody has it. Why? Again, wrong diet, lack of exercise, too much fatty food. So the thing about science is that, you know, people say, in fact, when India got free, they said that there were some people who said all machines should be burnt. You know, we should go back to the using the chakra and, you know, living the simple life. Others said, no, machines are our future. And so we have to build, you know, like Nehru and all, bigger and bigger dams and bigger industries. But in the middle is somebody who, like Mahatma Gandhi, who said we can keep the progress, but at the same time, don't forget your roots. Be self-sufficient. So we have to use science correctly. We have to apply it correctly. And we don't have to have total faith in science. Everything that is scientific is only good. And if it's not scientific, it is worthless. People say, you know, if I cannot see God, he doesn't exist. That's a foolish argument. Then I can say, I don't see your brain. Does that mean you don't have one? No. So just because I cannot see something, or I cannot see your mind or intellect or emotions, if I don't see your... there are a lot of things that science cannot show us that is real. So that is why they say, that's what Arjuna's question is, that one who practices Shraddha, devotion and love, thinks about God but does not know the scriptures, what is his nishtha, what happens to him? That is what we'll be studying next week onward. And Krishna will actually then go more into detail about sattva, rajas and tamas, and how we can make our lives more sattvic. So we have about 5 minutes. Any question, any comments? Yes.
You know, I was reading this chapter before, not chapter, this shloka before I came.
Right.
And what came to me, actually the faith can be also rajasic, tamasic and sattvic.
Right. No, Krishna says that in the 4th, 5th and 6th verse. He talks about in the 4th verse, you know, the sattvics praise, the worship the devas, the rajasic, the rakshasas, and the tamasic, the bhut, the pret bhuta. So same point. That's a very good point, that my faith would depend on what is my goal in life. Yeah. So they say, as your belief, so your faith, and so are your actions. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti.